Okay. It is 1 o'clock. I'd like to call to order the July 8th, 2019 meeting of the Captiva Erosion Prevention District. Roll call, starting with
Bob Walter.
Michael Lanigan.
Dave Jensen.
Thank you. I'd like to request a motion for the approval of the June 10, 2019 meeting minutes.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So approved. Moving ahead to public comment, are there any members of the public that would like to make a comment at this time? We can always return if anyone from the public does appear. Let's move on to the finance report. Bob?
I think everybody received a copy of this, but just an update on the parking revenues. Year-to-date, we're sitting at $293,000, which is a 17% increase over what we budgeted. And right now, pacing for the remaining 3 months of the year, looks like we're going to exceed our budget by about 15% and $52,000. So, good news.
What's the top line going to be if today is 293?
The final?
Yeah, what are you expecting?
I'm looking at 392.
Thank you.
It's just shy of 400,000.
Great.
Do we need to do anything on the budget work for next year, or is this?
We did that last month.
Did we approve?
We approved it. Then.
Okay, thank you.
I know we worked on it. I wasn't here when it was approved.
Yeah, we did. It was. It recorded in minutes that we approved that. Should we move on to action items then?
Yep.
Anything else? Dave, do you want to talk a little bit about the Historical Society?
Yes. I spoke with the chairman of the History Society, and in light of our previous conversations at the last two board meetings, thank you to the board for considering, and what we would like to do to make it right, or make it be right, if you choose to donate the money, when we have something that the CPD can look at as far as an outline of the movie at some point in the future, we'll share that, and maybe the board can look at it. We totally understand what the concerns were, and we're on board for that. So, long story short is, when we have something out, one of the meetings, we'll bring it forth, and you can take a look at it.
I wasn't at the last meeting, so I don't know if I'm up to speed on
the background. The Historic Society is going to do a film about erosion on Captiva, and they asked us for a $10,000 donation of funding to help fund the project. And I voiced a concern on behalf of the CEPD that, you know, there have been members of the community, not necessarily members of the Historical Society,
right,
that have been, you know, somewhat negative about some of our work, particularly regarding the apportionment. And I just wanted to make sure that we had some sort of editing ability, or, you know, I didn't want to have us funding something that might, you know, cast a negative shadow on us, so to speak. You know, I just wanted to have some assurance that that was not going to happen, considering if we were going to, you know, fund it for $10,000. And also, we wanted to make sure that it was appropriate and consult with our attorney at the same time.
Was Nancy fine with it?
Yes, she is.
Yeah, and
let me throw a wrench into that then. What's the estimated cost of the production? Does that pay for the whole
sure
thing?
No, we know it'll be a minimum $20,000.
Oh, really?
Okay. And it, there's some, depending on how many interviews we do, it could go up to $25,000. But we are truly all good with it. And I, wearing both hats, I totally agree with this. And the other thing that was brought up and was satisfied, I believed, was to verify that whatever we produce, if you agree to give the money, you will be able to use.
That's exactly what I'm thinking.
Yeah, and
if it's something that at the end of the day where we could sit and show someone that doesn't understand Captiva and the history of the erosion and why we exist and everything else, and we could sit there through a 20-minute movie and they go, oh, I get it now.
Yeah.
Then that's a win-win, I think, for everybody.
As I've been to two meetings in the production works so far, and I believe it's going to be a great asset, you know, whether you decide to give the money or not. It may be that the board may choose to do something else in additional. I don't see us at all getting into the apportionment part of it. It's more about the history of the island's shape and, you know, that type of thing, and things that have happened that, gave birth to beach nourishment, like the loss of the road and so forth. So it's that type of history. But you'll be able to see what we're doing at some point in the future.
Was it voted on last time?
The motion was withdrawn last time.
It was a couple months. I think it was like...
It started about 2 months back.
Yeah.
Yes, so. And then we wanted Nancy's legal opinion, and she said she thought it would be fine. We also wanted a document that would say we had the authority to use it for our own use. We got that. And then, you know, we want to make sure that it is not a negative light. So that was the next phase.
Yeah, I think the only reason, and I don't see any purpose for the CPD on this, the only reason, let's say it wasn't a governmental agency that was considering supporting, in our media or how we announce our events, we put in who's sponsors of the events. But I don't see that as a need for the CPD. You know, whereas if I were a business...
I don't think we actually can.
Right, exactly.
But so, I would certainly be interested from the educational perspective on splitting the cost of development and production if we have, you know, all future rights in perpetuity to it.
And may I say, we have $40,000 in the budget, this budget year, that we haven't used towards the history of the CEPD.
Right.
So $10,000 of that towards this would certainly be a good start.
Yeah, I, wearing my CEPD hat, I think we're doing the right thing, what I'm suggesting.
Just holding on.
Yes, I really do. I really want to be comfortable with this. And I'm very confident, wearing my History Society hat, that what we produce is going to be very helpful for the CPD, and you may choose to help. And for us...
So you're suggesting we wait till the production's complete before we decide whether we want to...
Or at some point close to it, but... Yeah, it's yeah, because, you know, if you don't give money, you don't get the rights
right
to use it. So,
and that's it. Yeah, I hate to lose that opportunity, though. As long as we feel comfortable that, you know, we're all on board and we're rowing in the same
Won't lose.
But
I don't
want to give
up a reason.
That could be, as you said, it's a real asset. It could be a great opportunity for us as we try to tell our story, you know, separate from this film.
Yeah, and as far as our budgeting goes, whether we get it later in the, it just really helps us. No matter what, okay. You know, it's...
Is it inappropriate for us to ask for editing rights as it's being produced?
Well, that is the reason why...
You don't want us.
Yeah, exactly. And because we... yeah, that's why.
And no editing rights.
No.
Got it. Understood.
So good luck.
Yeah, exactly. No, I understand. I am very passionate about both organizations,
right.
And I want to... do the right
That's probably the right way, the right direction.
Yeah, well, I feel good about it, and I feel that compromise is a good one.
Yeah.
So we're all okay with it.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that everything clear there, Carolyn?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. 6B, scope of work for administrative assistance. Was this up last month at all, or is this the first time we've discussed
this?
This
is the first time we've discussed.
Okay. And so from my understanding is that we're discussing here is a request to pay $12,000 for to have a part administrative assistant come in on a part-time basis to help us organize files both in the office and at an off-site location.
In the storage, that's correct. It's a request that we're making for assistance to continue sorting through the past CEPD business in a methodical manner, to preserve the items that are important and archive or eliminate those items that are obsolete. one of the things that I learned at the
FASD. Can we do that? Can we eliminate docs?
There are time limits on every document that you have, and you know, you need a specific log telling you when it was destroyed, how it was destroyed, all of that. And so that's what this would help do. It's not so much asking for $12,000 as it's asking for, you know, let's pay someone between $20 to $25, maybe 30, 35 hours a week, and see where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
Anywhere we're at down the line, you know, next month it can be reevaluated. If you don't think you're getting your money's worth, the person's gone.
Okay. Do we have to?
I think we want.
Can we discuss it now?
I'd like to see a plan.
Or do we have to?
I mean,
read them.
Well, there's a scope of work. There's a plan on page 22 that talks about the order that we would like done in.
So, I guess on the surface, you're suggesting that you two don't have time to do it.
Correct.
Page 22.
Yes.
How do you know we were taking it to vote today? I thought it was just a discussion.
I don't know.
I guess it is under action items.
Which means,
yeah, we need to.
I think of my own business. I think of when I deal with something like this.
But hold on, I think if
oh, sorry.
This is an action item, I guess one of us has to
make a motion.
I'll make a motion to accept the funds for the record keeping update or organizing.
Okay, I second the motion so we can discuss it, and then we can raise it.
Yeah, sounds great.
Exactly.
Dave, my comment is, I think about if I go to do things, it's almost like if I bring in someone to help me, my only question is, it's like I have to end up doing the work anyways because of my knowledge of the stuff. But I'm assuming there's a part of it, I guess, the scanning or whatever, once you determine at that time is saved. So I guess for me the question is, if you don't have the time to do that, then I understand it.
So I'm going to do this in like 14 parts. So what is our goal at the end of this?
The goal at the end of this, the very, very end goal, would be to have everything electronic, to have everything under a name that everyone could easily find it as, to maybe even get rid of the storage locker, depending on everything that's there. That's $235 a month. To make it easier to find things. Perfect example, where's the 1988 document that shows who paid for the U.S. Army Corps, you know, the C word part of it? Where is that? Well, right now it's probably in a box in storage somewhere that's very difficult for us to find. So those
that's indeed a problem. I mean, if you don't know where things are.
Right.
Here's, I don't see that happening by just bringing in a temp. To your point, they don't know where anything is. You got to spend 50% of your time telling where anything is. Are there companies out there, this is what they do? I mean, because I assume we want this sort of cloud-based when it's all said and done and with backup and everything else.
Well, we have our cloud set up, so as this gets scanned, we'll put it in the right folders on our cloud that we currently have.
There's got to be companies out there that do this for a living, though. They have the software in place. I mean, I'm not. We might want to spend $20,000 to have a company do it right.
Mm-hmm. But you're not saying $12,000 is going to complete the project. You're saying
I doubt it.
Yeah. So this could be a $50,000 project. We don't know. They're just asking for 12 right now to get it going and kind of, you know, see how deep, you know, the problem is.
Get what going?
This filing system.
Project.
What is this filing system?
What
we're just going to scan a bunch of stuff into PDFs?
Well, so we would spend some time with whoever this person is to go through, you know, if you're going to scan it, it's got a title. The title then has to be named a common list of things. For example, you've got, you know, the project, maybe it's the 2013/14 renourishment, and then it's an interlocal agreement and the date of the contract.
Well, that's, I guess,
kind of thing.
That all that should be done and ready to roll before we hire somebody to come in and start scanning. The outline, if you will, the model.
Oh, we have that.
We do?
Well, we have an outline that we use, yeah. But we can certainly get more detailed.
I think may I just make one comment? So my concern is this: is that that's been part of the scope of service for the administrator, certainly since 2012. This is something I got off an email where it says that the Office of Administration is to organize and maintain files and act as custodian of board records, including maintenance of off-site storage. Seems we've been paying for this service, and we haven't gotten this service. So there's been a lack of oversight. I'm not pointing fingers, just saying that if we're finding ourselves today in a really bad situation, well, then this is something that the CBD has paid for the last however far back this problem is, and we haven't gotten that service. So I'm not crazy about spending any more CEPD money to do a service that is delinquent because it hasn't been done right, even though we paid for it. That's my concern. But I do recognize the problem, and I do want to do what we can to fix it. I'm just concerned that we've already paid for this and haven't gotten it correct. Hans?
So are we saying before... Well, I'm sorry. I got two questions then, follow up on that. Sorry, yeah. I'm sorry, Hans. So prior to you arriving, none of this was done. And then after you arrived, none of this was done.
I'm certain that it's been done somewhere. I can't find any physical record. There should be a record easily accessible telling me exactly what's in storage, what box it's in, what it's called, and there just isn't. I asked John.
Okay.
So,
sure.
All right. What you're looking at is a new administration, a more advanced administration, more technically competent administration. Previous administration with Kathy and John in place, they had their own system, just like these folks have their own system. And if you ask Kathy for information, she would find it. I don't know if she kept it up here, if she had it in a document somewhere. She just, you know, her organizational abilities were her abilities, just like John's. John had been slowly going back, recovering documentation, getting things organized. But since Joe and Carolyn have come on board, new administration, new opportunity to improve things, first thing we started talking about was a file management system that was better than the, I'll say, Brooker system, for lack of a better term, that made it easier for anybody to access whatever information you were looking for. So what we're essentially doing is we're sort of just kind of upgrading from Windows 7.0 to Windows 10. It's about the best way I can describe it. They could continue to do what they're doing right now, and they could be slowly going through this documentation as they proceed. It's the way I understand it from Carolyn and Joe is that they would like to expedite this to get this better and further along than it has in the past. So if that's what they need in order for them to perform their functions as consultants doing the administration for the CEPD, that's what they're requesting. We have in our contract...
But let me ask you a question, Hans, just because it's along what you're talking about. Have we asked a professional to come in and give us advice on how to do that? Because we can sit here and scan PDFs all day long under our laptops and everything else, and then at the end of it, all we got is a bunch of PDFs on a laptop. There's still no system.
No, for example,
I can go over to my copier, my executive office right now, and I can scan to like a number of 50 folders on there that the shared drive exists, and people have administrative rights to certain drives and folders and stuff like that. But I know when I scan something, I can key in what folder I want it in. So is that something that we want to set up? So as they're scanning, they can scan 150 pages of something into one folder and then move into the next folder and just scan.
To your point, we could
spend $100,000 in labor just not using technology.
I don't think it's that. I think that the...
I don't think anybody knows what it is. That's a problem.
We've worked to come up with a naming convention so that you intuitively can see what the document is when you read the subject line of what the document is. How many emails and PDFs do you get? How many emails do you get with the PDF attached where it's just a number? It doesn't tell you anything. You have to actually open it up. We're trying to take it beyond that step to a point where you look at an archive and you'll see a directory that lists the documents. You can read what the subject line on the document is and know pretty much that's what it is.
I understand. But you want to spend a lot of manual labor to do all that.
It's going to take manual labor to do it any way you look at it. So the question is, and this is just a...
Car drives itself. There's a software out there somewhere that can do this for us and save us a lot of time and labor.
Yes and no. I'm sure there is. If you'd like for us to pursue looking at that, but I don't think you're going to... I just
think we're going to continue doing what we always did.
Well, may I? I'm sorry. So moving forward, and since we've started, it's not that we haven't been doing that, because we do that now with anything that we want electronic that isn't. We'll scan it, put it in, give it that name, and put it where it belongs. So we have been doing that since we started here. It's a matter of going backwards. But I see what you're saying. I think that scanning... I don't think you're going to find any machine that's going to physically scan it for you.
We're saying that didn't exist before you coming in, and I understand what you're saying, but we kept John for 6 months just for this reason too, right?
I haven't personally seen it.
You weren't, Joe, you weren't here, but...
Well, the results of that I haven't seen.
I don't know. Do we pay Kathy $10,000 to come back and help? I don't know.
Did, if your office, your physical office... Are you aware of what's in there, in that
yes.
office? Okay.
Yes.
So the other location where we have stuff is the storage unit,
right?
Which we're paying for. Mm-hmm. Could we somehow...
Well, we're still going to have to pay for that because we need hard copies of stuff anyway for...
Well, keep in mind,
historical records, right?
This is a process of converting paper copies of documents from the 80s and the 90s before we had scanning technology and the storage that we have today. So the idea is we're going back slowly and pulling those documents up and determining, A, what value they have, B, if they're required that we keep them, C, even if we're not required to keep them, we may want to keep them. And classic example is them going back to find the 1988, how much of the beach restoration was paid by the Corps of Engineers. So there's certain things that we want to keep anyway, there's certain things of historical significance that we would like to keep. So the question comes down to, we can either do it slowly and methodically as they have spare time to go back to those documents, but we've also got a lot of new stuff coming in, and we got a project coming up. And so it's really at the board's, clearly staff would like to have it better organized and better identified. So at the board's discretion, if they want to exercise that
So you're saying, because you used the word spare time. I mean, to Commissioner Lanigan's point, we're talking 80 hours a week here, right?
Of their time?
Right.
Yeah.
And we can't do a large part of this within that 80 hours a week and still do the tasks at hand?
From what I'm hearing, not under what they're being directed to do and how the priorities are changing. So.
Okay. That's it. That's enough. No, so Joe, all right. Go ahead, Joe. Joe, do you want to say something?
No, sir, I'm fine.
Okay. Yeah, that's enough discussion. Let's bring this up to a vote. Who wants to? I'd like to vote on the motion to spend $12,000 for the administrative assistance as a start in this project.
I'm sorry. I'll have to vote no because I didn't get enough information here.
I think it's going to... No. I'll vote no as well. I think we have to move this. We'll bring it up in next meeting when we have more commissioners. I appreciate your comments.
But I think it's appropriate to come back with, this is what it's going to cost us. My gut tells me we're throwing money at things that, like I said, it may not be the 12... It's, to me, it's not the $12,000. It's what's going to happen for the $12,000. It could be $20,000. But if there's a plan behind it with specifics and we've done our research and quite frankly, I'm the on this board, I am probably the one that spends the least amount of time worrying about what you guys do on a daily basis. But to sit here and say that within 80 hours a week between two people, they don't have time to do some of this, based on what I see, I find that hard to believe. That's my two cents.
Okay. You know, I realized that I never brought to vote action A. I think we had a motion to pay the $10,000. I don't think we ever.
I don't think I didn't make a motion.
Oh, you didn't.
No, okay. I don't think a motion's. Do you require a motion?
I don't think so.
Okay. He's not going to sign driving his car.
Yeah, because we weren't. Again, we didn't make a decision.
Yeah.
We weren't making a decision.
Okay.
C.
Okay, C. Captiva Community Panel request for funding of Andy Rossi Beach Access Project. I believe we brought this to our attorney, and can you share some of her comments, Carolyn?
Absolutely. The proposal was forwarded to the legal counsel. She doesn't feel that it necessarily is a fit for beach and shore preservation. It was also forwarded to the TDC for their thoughts. And Nancy McKay at Lee County wanted to know if it was permitted through Lee County, which I don't know. And she couldn't give an opinion on it until the county attorneys were to review it. She also thought it was possibly beautification and not preservation. There were other concerns raised, too, that the plants that are suggested in the documents are not native dune plants. Plus, it looks like a bike rack is being removed, which cuts down on public access, which really isn't what the CEPD is looking to do.
Okay. Excuse me, are you taking any comments from the audience?
That was a few minutes ago, Mike, okay, but we said we'd take, if anybody came, we'd open that back up. So give us a few minutes to finish this up. Does anybody want to talk, anything else to discuss about this right now?
So there's a proposed motion, isn't there, is it for us to give money for it?
Yes. Well, no, not us, for us to solicit funding from Lee County for this.
Well, I'm putting my own personal opinion in it, which is I would vote no for it. I just believe, if anything, it's just the maintenance of that area and not plants. And I don't know whose purview is to keep it clean and maintained, if it's us or not, you know.
This action isn't clear that we are requesting the county to fund this. This motion is for us to fund this. And we haven't made the motion yet, but I'm just reading the action.
Well, then it goes on to suggest that we would request the funding from TDC for reimbursement. So, but you are right. The panel is asking us to fund this beautification project.
That's a backstop, I think. Yeah. I mean, we all get it. I'm sorry, I don't want to jump in here when it's not appropriate. I'm sorry, and I wanted to be here on time. It's hard to be against it. The issue is who's going to pay for it, and we're pretty confident we're going to get funding from the community, but to make sure it happened, we were looking for a backstop. Right. And the part of the conversation I'd like to weigh in on is my understanding was whether or not it's in this organization's purview. This is all part of an attempt to make accessibility and attractiveness of the island to the public more so, and obviously taking away the bike rack would be an absolute no-no. We are trying, and I think you are all trying, to enhance the accessibility to the beach so that we can get some help from the federal government, and this was under that guise. But in any case, it's $5,000, we did need a backstop, but we can't, and I can't guarantee it, but we were going to use that backstop just so we could go forward, but in any case, look for the real funding from the public. We're asking to be a banker and trust us. Right. I'm speaking as a community.
Right.
I'm sorry, can we get your name for the record?
I'm sorry, Mike Boris, Carolyn.
Right.
So that's
thanks, Mike. Yeah, I was at that meeting physically. I recall all the parts of it. How we initially voted no, with a very insignificant change, we voted yes. I don't understand it, but anyway, I think I understand all the issues. Thank you. Do you have any comments you want to make? Bob, do you have any comments you want to make? But our attorney's advice is that this does not conform with our mandate. Okay, so should we bring this up? You want to bring this up for a vote? What do we do?
I don't know.
We'll just let it sit as is. We don't have to vote on it.
We don't have to vote on it.
Yeah. Attorneys have recommended it's not under our realm.
Okay.
The guys are here.
What the rationale is. Did you already, I'm sorry, now that you've gotten I've gotten your attention, did you already pass on the funding of this this documentary?
We discussed that already, yes.
That's come and gone? It's done?
No, just... I can explain later. It's a maybe.
Thank you. Sorry to interrupt.
Not at all. Thanks for your participation. Is there anything else that we need to discuss?
I assume for the record that this has died with a no vote at all.
If you want an actual no vote, I think you're going to have to make a motion to vote. You're going to have to move that we do this, and then someone will second it, and then you'll vote no.
Well, do you recommend that we do vote on it?
If you really want it to be done with, yes.
So the motion is to approve the estimated cost.
Correct.
Okay. I'll make a motion to approve the estimated cost of $4,897 for the Andy Rossi streetscape, for lack of a better term.
And I'll second that motion.
Okay. Discussion?
Any more discussion?
Again?
Votes? Bob?
No.
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 Okay, old business, tentative apportionment update. Well, there's not a whole lot to discuss. There's been no, have we heard back from Dr. Strong, by the way, on any of the questions we've given him?
He called me today and said that he was unavailable for the month of June and that he will be working on things now that he is back in his office.
Okay. So the only thing that I have to add is that I did go into the, I spent some time with Carol and Joe last week. We went over some of the, you know, I certainly wouldn't say randomness, but some of the, you know, largest increases in apportionment since the last project, and we're just trying to drill down and trying to identify issues. We know the issues that we have. The unknown is there are a bunch of issues that we don't know, and that are going to creep up that we're going to try to identify, and that's one way we've done it. We just basically looked at the old apportionment. The flat line should be a 300% increase, since right now we're estimated at an $18 million participation from the community versus approximately $6 million last time. So anything over five times, we flagged. Just have some sort of number to find potential issues.
And when you quote that number, $18
million, yeah.
Do you have in there state and county?
No. That's what we're basing all of our apportionments right now on.
Then you're not comparing apples and apples, because the $6 million was based on we had money.
Yes. But right now, if nothing happened to your property and we have to pay the $18 million,
right,
then your apportionment should be up 300%.
No, all I else understand. Equal.
So we're just trying to identify properties that have a much larger increase than that.
Wasn't the total project more than 18, and the 18 was net of local participation? Last project was $22 million. I thought this project was 30.
30, yes. And our share of that is budgeted at 18.
18.
Million.
Okay.
Yes.
So when we paid six the yes. last time, the project was 22.
That's right. That's
so
correct.
It is apples to apples. It is six compared to 18.
That's correct.
Okay.
I don't know how the $6 million figure. You knew what we got from the state and the county. The $30 million project and quoting $18 million, you don't know what you're going to get from the state and the county.
What you're hoping is at least 12.
Correct.
Okay.
All right. And when we paid six the last time, we weren't sure how much we were going to get. The initial bid was what they suggested to the community was quite a bit bigger number. It wasn't triple. But it was a bigger enough. They were ultra conservative on estimating the amount, and you're doing the same thing now, which is appropriate.
That's correct. Yeah,
you're the CPA. But I think
that's exactly what we're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the question? What?
Somebody was saying there wasn't apples to apples. I think it is.
Well, you're trying to...
The methodology is apples to apples.
Yeah. I mean, I thought you were
numbers may not be exact.
How much the extreme or the high numbers are paying, how much more than they did the last time. So when you compare the $22 million, what they would have paid at the $22 million as versus the $30, or am I missing
you're missing one thing. So if Mike's bill last time was $5
million, right,
his apportionment right now should be $15 million, right. Okay?
Okay.
Let's say his apportionment right now is $25 million, okay? Those are the numbers, 25 and greater, we're trying to flag right away to say, okay, there's something else going on.
Right.
Whether there's been a huge increase in the valuation of his property, or what we're finding out a lot is that the zones have changed a little bit, and homes that were on in a cool zone might not now be in a hot zone, and that can have a significant impact on the apportionment. So
the millage has changed.
Right. Exactly, because of the zone. And so one of the things we were discussing is perhaps feathering the borders of the zone, so you don't go from, it's not like the Berlin Wall. You know, it's not like, this side of this wall is calm, and over here it's, it's really violent.
The last project where the community paid $6 million, you guys found some significant reserves to smooth that out, to minimize that, because that project was done without benefit of federal help too, and our number could have easily been double, but because you found some money elsewhere which you don't have anymore, plus the project is almost...
No money that we found elsewhere that we don't have anymore. That's not a correct statement.
All right. Well, I know there were some reserves used that they weren't otherwise going to use. I'm sorry.
Yeah. You're uninformed on that, Mike. Okay.
The project is substantially more expensive.
That's correct.
Everybody needs to know that. That's a big.
I don't think there's
22
been any
versus 30.
I don't think there's been any secret about that, Mike.
Okay.
I think we've been very clear about that.
Okay. Good. Sorry.
I'm unaware that we've arrived at the point of knowing these apportionment.
We haven't.
I don't know why we're talking about this until we. To arrive at the plan, then we need to talk about it.
There's a reason why we have an old business right here. But what are we doing during the process between now and then we come out with the final portion?
I agree. Yeah, we need to be working on that. Yeah.
That's what I suggested or shared that Joe and Carol and I were doing last week, trying to identify. Rather than wait for a group of condominium owners to come in, upset because their apportionments are, a multiple of what they were, and then we realize, okay, there's been a problem here. We're trying to be proactive and try to identify any issues with the methodology or sort of, inequitable treatment of certain properties.
But didn't we ask Strong to go back and look just like that?
I don't know if we request
that we did.
Dr. Strong to do that. He may have. I don't know.
To look just at the anomalies?
Yeah.
I believe that we have.
Because I think we as a board kind of agreed that if someone in Sunset Captiva, right?
Yeah.
Was looking at paying three times as much just because now we found a piece of land that's set on the beach that we didn't know was common land before, is that really right? And I think we as a board said, it's a little too much.
That's a separate issue, though.
That's part of the apportionment. So
absolutely,
no. Go back and because once they fix that part, then it changes all the millage rates going through.
So. It does, and I think we discovered to be a 5% increase
So they ended up being a 5%.
If we completely go back to where we were last time and say, never mind on the Sunset Captiva thing, then right now that extra storm protection that the Sunset Captiva non-beachfront owners are getting hit on because of the value is about 5% of the storm assessment total. If we determine as a board that we think that was a mistake and unfair, well now, it's got to go back to where it was equitable to the whole beachfront. So
that's why I thought Strong was coming back with some more information. Because I thought, to your point, I think that's where we were heading.
I think so.
Keeping the denominator or the millage rate the same. So the only thing that changes is the total cost of the project, So people, their cost is going to go up. Their apportionment is going to go up, but it's a result of the cost of the project, not Billy said that you're closer to the beach now than you were before. We took all that discussion out of it. That was the plan. Yeah, I missed a couple of meetings, so I may be
I'm sorry. I must have missed something here. I thought we were still waiting for Dr. Strong to look at things that, Commissioner Mullins, he brought up the thing about possibly considering ad valorem just on the residential and then commercial on a different system. I didn't think we arrived at anything yet.
No, we haven't.
Yeah, so how can you go look at these properties that you're suggesting when that could change? We don't even know what it is.
Well, it could change. Absolutely, but relatively it won't. In other words, it may go up or down depending on if we take a mulligan on the Sunset Captiva issue. It may go up and down depending if we get anything as small as it will ultimately ever be on that
Gulfway.
But the formula that has their apportionment right now, that's pretty much done unless we identify any specific unique issues with those individual properties.
But I don't think it is done because we haven't finalized the millage rates.
Indeed, it's not done.
But he's identified macro issues that from this five times I've seen there's bigger problems going on with
the cost five times, but that's a purely driven off the millage rate based on the theory that people on the beach in Sunset Captiva now was picking up a lion's share and individuals that pick no
it's X that we're correcting for that. We corrected for that. We're just trying to
we haven't corrected for it because we have to instruct Strong on what we want. We haven't done that yet.
Yeah. It's not.
Hans, you want to join in?
Yeah, I'd like to just.
Go ahead.
I meet with Carolyn and Joe every Friday, and we've had a lot of discussion about the apportionment and the issues with Dr. Strong. I think one of the things that needs to be focused on is a better explanation for the public, the people that are paying the tax bill, about how we've arrived at where we are today with the last round, because while we do have some anomalous locations like Sunset Captiva and the 40-foot right-of-way, there's also some other things that are coming into play that's affecting everybody. I think Joe discovered one piece of property that was a great example of what he described as the perfect storm. And when he explained that to me, it's like, you know, now I start to get that where we have a couple of different things that are playing out in this apportionment that need to be explained to the people that are paying the bill clearly, and then Dr. Strong needs to do a better job of how he's assessing these properties on these anomalous locations like Sunset Captiva. Joe, can you explain what that perfect storm that we were talking about for the benefit of the commissioner?
Yes, I'm just trying to remember all of them, but it's the zone lines have changed, which has a direct effect on millage rates are changing because of the engineering report. So it's all driven off of that. So from one zone, we might be at 5.5 millage, and then the next zone right next door goes to 19.6. So I don't know how we're going to totally get away from all of that as it changes. So the perfect storm, last time he was in zone 2, now he's in zone 1. And he went from 5.5 to 19.6.
You're talking about his taxable mill rate.
Yes, sir.
That's not nothing to do with how we're doing this.
No, but then you added
nothing. But to be clear, right?
Yeah, No. What I'm talking about is you've also had an economy change, so the property values are increasing.
Right. Let me give you a perfect example.
Yeah.
You own a home. You own a home. You're right next door to each other. You sell your home to me. Now I'm paying a much higher tax basis than you who've lived there for 20 years because I just bought it at fair market value. So now you're telling me when the apportionment comes around, I'm going to pay that multiple of that? No, it's not the way this works.
the value of the property, as the property, the value goes up, the cost of the apportionment goes up.
The value of the property?
Yes.
I'm talking about from a tax millage perspective.
I misunderstood, I'm sorry.
The appraised value
right.
is the basis, not the millage rate.
For the purpose of my conversation, not for the purpose of what we're doing here.
That's right.
It's a usage and benefit that we're doing the millage rates on.
Yes. And it's also how, and clarify if I'm wrong here, Joe, but we've also had changes in how the properties are being identified at the state level, how the state has classified properties. That's changed since the last apportionment. So Bill Strong is using those reclassifications, which is also changing the apportionment, as well as you have the change in the zones, the high erosion areas versus the cooler areas. So there's a number of different factors that are playing out into the apportionment that in some people's cases have really skyrocketed their assessment.
So right, which is exactly what I said in the beginning.
Okay.
That's how, when things are not three times, which is the baseline, they're five times or more, that's what we're flagging now and trying to find out, okay, what are driving...
You're not making a statement about why, but you're saying we need to look...
And so we can identify what problems are before people come at us justifiably with pitchforks.
We have some cases where it's up 25 times.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. So that's all.
I think we're,
thank you.
So, no, thanks for your help, but you helped it. Clarify that.
I mean, if you take those big things that are changing and identifying for everybody, you know, then it's easier to kind of work through the anomalous pieces.
Right.
I mean, we've had a project cost that's gone to $30 million.
So. Correct.
And the other thing is, I think, Hans, what you said about we need to have Dr. Strong explain it to the community. Because
we need to figure out what it is
saying,
first.
Hey, if someone's paying five times or what more, the pitchforks are coming out.
Sir, absolutely. And so we're just trying to, that's what I said. Last week it was, I'll do it again, hopefully Wednesday of this week. Just spend an hour or two just going through more of this and just trying to identify issues so that we can fix them before they become, you know.
Well, in all due respect, I know where you're going, but I think we need to have Dr. Strong before you.
We as a board then should direct the administration to get with Strong and eliminate or be able to clearly explain back to us if those extraordinary amounts are accurate or not.
What I had asked Joe and Carolyn to do, Joe's spent a tremendous amount of time working with Chairman Mullins on the spreadsheet and tweaking this and looking at that, and I think they've got it pretty cleaned up. Formulas are functioning properly. I had said that at this point we need to take that back to Bill Strong and say, look, we've done a lot of your legwork here, Dr. Strong. He needs to vet that because he's the expert and he's the one that needs to be responsible for what the final apportionment numbers turn out to be and how the spreadsheet functions. Mm-hmm. Even though Joe's done the legwork to create it, it's really his baby and it's his responsibility. So yes, we should be gearing up to go back to Dr. Strong, but he's been non-responsive. I've contacted him a couple of times and I just can't get an email response or a phone call in return.
That's a problem. There's a lot of problems. But so we're going to continue this work. But as long as this is the most important thing to talk about, really, is we talked briefly about Sunset Captiva. And again, I think all I want to say is between that and Gulfway, at some point, I think we will resolve that, not Dr. Strong. We will determine, I think, the five of us, you know, which way we want to go. I'm much more comfortable with my opinion, and it's much more informed now. Joe?
I think we determined last week that Gulfway issue is about a $5,000 issue.
I mean, but whatever. So I think that probably will go away. You know, I think we're leaning towards asking Lee County one last time to put a level on the asset, and if they don't, just let it go, because we're talking about $5,000 probably, maybe 10. Our attorney said we shouldn't ask to put a value on it, and that's a very logical response from her. But I don't know how else we get money from that unless there's a value on the asset.
Did we not instruct Dr. Strong for the Sunset Captiva portion to remain as it was historically?
No.
No, we asked him to come back with a 50-50.
and he did, and
50-50.
Kind of like, you know, like it never happened, and then with this knowledge, but I think my own opinion is that if you really invest time into it, and I hadn't until recently, you'll come up with an informed decision. And I think maybe when Mike and Harry are here, we can talk more about it, and we can vote. I think we can make the decision where we're going to go on that.
I think we need to, however we arrive at it, whatever it is, I think it's got to be Bill Strong's gig, and I'll tell you why. If there's a challenge legally, we don't want to be the ones defending it, because we're not experts. Dr. Strong is an expert.
The methodology of the economists is what is the paperclip between what you're saying.
Yeah.
But we can certainly say to him, historically you've done it this way in this particular area. We as a board can vote on whether we want to continue that way or go with his new methodology based on what he's given. If we as a board don't feel that it holds water, then we can make that decision, correct, Hans?
Yeah, board can make that decision. Yeah. But I think you want to stay as close as you can. You really need to have Dr. Strong
absolutely. That's
explain
what
why.
Right.
And then you have the discretion to make those adjustments.
But that would have to be, you know, as soon as we can get Mike and Harry back, I think Mike will be back next month, and we can get Dr. Strong here, I think that would be a useful exercise to go through that.
Wasn't the date November where we had to have our final recommendations?
January.
We push it back to January.
Boy, I'm thinking, do we need to address Dr. Strong? I'm smelling.
Sounds like it. Did you say you spoke to him?
He was unavailable pretty much all of June. He's had some major family stuff going on, and he said he's back now and ready to move forward.
So should we come up with an expectation of something from Dr. Strong by certain, or are we asking him to do something?
Well, can you maybe send us an email reminding us what requests we have to Dr. Strong right now? And then one thing to add to that is that at his earliest date that coincides with one of our meetings, be present.
I'd say September, probably.
So we can review the two main outstanding issues that we have. Is that right, Dave? You know, the Gulfway and Sunset Captiva?
Well, the whole deal.
And I think those two.
I think we have two phases right now. We got to get them back, solve those two issues, and anything else that's surfaced in meetings that you guys have had. And then following month, come back with us with all that, and then we vote on.
Okay.
If he comes in September, that gives us October, and then possibly November to clean it up, and then we're. Because I think by November's meeting, we should be able to tell the public what we're doing.
Yeah,
in
well, it goes in January, is that right? But it would be nice to be ready in November.
Right.
Because things are going to still come out. You know, so
I'm actually traveling November, December anyway, so that's good.
Okay. All right.
Just couldn't.
All right.
Just lead in.
Let's see. B, U.S. Army Corps of Engineer. Is there anything to share with us and with correspondence to them?
We haven't had any response to the letter that we sent to them, letting them know that we are interested in having them review what if they, you know, can give us any help, and then also additionally having them look at the new supplemental funds that they have received, and might they be able to help fund their renourishment that way. We're trying to come up with
along those lines. So the administration is working with the Army Corps of Engineers to see if and what we need to do for subsidy?
She was on the phone at our last meeting.
Okay.
And explained to us that before they can even look into anything, they need a letter from us saying that
right.
You know, we're interested in the possibility of them helping us again.
And we've sent that?
We have.
Okay.
Yeah.
So one of the things I would only suggest we look at too, because more than one individual brought up in conversation after the last nourishment was, if they subsidize it, then we're at their their beck and call what they want to do. And they may subsidize it for the psychic conversation $4 million. But then that project cost, based on us doing it, might be $10 million more.
Right.
So we're going to get $4 million to spend $10 million. Right. And we just need accuracy on those numbers.
Right.
So it was a wake-up call for all of us when we thought we were in trouble when they backed out last minute, last nourishment, and then all of a sudden we realized when we did it ourselves, we ended up saving millions.
Right. So... But you basically, we've not heard back from them.
We have not heard back from them. They did acknowledge receipt. Okay. We have not heard back from them.
And when do you, would you expect you, a reasonable time for you to
I'll
follow
reach
up
out
with
to them again?
So in the meantime, I think what we learned from the, in the last meeting was, if we're going to get more or any funds or enough to consider partnering with the Army Corps, is if we're able to come up with more parking. And you know, my sense is I don't know how that's going to happen. But I think it's real important, if I remember correctly, there is a new opportunity to be in line if there's an emergency. Let's say we have a storm. Something new with the Army Corps is they could come in and take care of an emergency project.
That's true. If their signature is on a project that existed, then getting them to respond post year or two down the road is a lot quicker.
Which we can, could we have
pros and cons
and not partner with them in our next project and then have that for the emergency afterwards? Can it work that way?
Say that again.
So let's say we're not using them in the next project, the regular project. Can we have a relationship with them where if at some point in the future there's a bad storm and we'd like to take advantage of them doing an emergency project and paying for it?
Well, I would certainly think so. They're two totally separate
I didn't know
events,
if
but
they
I,
only
I
do it for people that they do the
right.
project.
Right. Right.
Right,
right.
That's a good question. And the other thing, it's kind of surprising to me how they completely discounted Captiva Drive, an emergency route to protect, to you know, help fund, to, you know, protect, you know, escape from Captiva. They completely punted on it last time. So, but she did welcome that again. She thinks there's different eyes these days there that will view our request
that's
differently.
That's a biggie.
What's that?
Well, no, what you just said, that's a pitch.
Yeah. And, you know, in light of, you know, Sandcap Road blown, you know,
yeah.
She described the landscape as being much more friendly. She was, you know, inviting, encouraging. A little disappointing we haven't heard back, but, you know, it's government, so hopefully by next month.
It's government and there was a holiday.
Indeed, that's right.
So there is hope.
Okay. Anything else on that? I'm sorry,
yeah,
I apologize.
Just a little bit. We start to talk a little bit about the parking because I know that the public access is a big thing for the Army Corps. We're trying to be real creative. Joe and I actually went and talked to a couple different business owners in the area, one particularly on Andy Rossi Drive, but he'd had a bad experience in the past and was not interested. Joe has reached out to the Yacht Club. You know, maybe when they don't have an event, they would like to earn some money using their parking facility. So we're looking at all kinds of different things. There's a lot for sale just south of Jensen's, but it of course is residential, not commercial. I don't know what would be involved in getting that changed.
Can I weigh in on that?
I
Please.
Can't allow you to.
Sure.
No, but this is important.
Sorry.
You heard at the last panel meeting that there's some severe, potentially severe restrictions on the chapel parking on those side streets. We're going to try to get a variance. We don't know if we will or not. One option is we looked at that lot, the lot that Carolyn speaks of. It's at the end of Merman. And
this is a different lot than what they're talking about. They're talking about the one at the corner of Captiva Drive and Wiles.
I meant Wiles.
Oh, sorry.
It is the same lot.
It's not the lot on Merman.
No. So I misspoke. Okay. It is the same lot. It's very deep. You could fit 35 cars in there. I've paced it off. And it would require a variance. We have actually thought about finding money to buy it. I mean,
who's we? I'm sorry.
The chapel by the sea.
Okay, thank you.
It's on a corner. It's not the best spot. But we would have an interest. We all collectively would have an interest. The Corps of Engineers supposedly has an interest. I mean, I don't know why this isn't something that should have some legs to it.
Eminent domain. Government.
Yeah.
Governments just take whatever the heck.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
Yeah, no, so am I. I think it's fantastic. Yeah, so let's talk about that.
It's not, the spot itself is ideal because it's tucked away. It's not going to bother a lot of the residents. Getting to the beach is an issue.
Well,
right? Because it's on the curb. But if you can make a walkway a little wider, there's access right there.
People use it all the time anyways.
I know.
Is it legit access, or is it just something nobody paid attention to?
You know, I don't know what the technicality is, but it is definitely.
It's a legit access.
It's definitely.
Mike, where's this?
Signage and a crosswalk.
It's right at the S-curve, right next to Jensen's on the Gulf, all right? And when you go around the curve towards the flash, you look to the right, and there's a narrow, deep lot.
Right. I know.
Okay. So the landscape guys are leaving the trailers there. It's
got
for
it.
Sale.
Yep.
And it would.
Captiva Ventura's right there.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
Yes.
They want 8.899.
The point is it a reality that it could be rezoned, and we would have to find
that
out.
But I mean, we have some very. We want it for 2 hours a week.
Right.
That's it. So it could work.
Okay.
If the chapel wants that parking for 2 hours a week, and we need other parking for the rest of the week, is the chapel interested whatsoever in?
Well, the chapel, the parking at the chapel is a CCA, so you got to talk to them.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And that basically is the library parking, is that right?
Well, officially, the chapel owns almost a half of that lot. We just found that out recently. But the library owns it, the chapel owns it. The portion the chapel owns, you could probably park, 8 or 10 cars there.
Oh, wow. Thanks, Mike.
Well, I think Joe and Carolyn have been good about any lead, so...
Well, the president of the yacht club just emailed us this morning, so they're open. So they just posed a lot of questions of how we would do the arrangement. So by next board meeting, I should have a lot of information for you on that.
Great.
You know, this whole topic is a community-wide interest. I mean, it is important for all of us. So, I mean, I don't always want to have all these extra people in here, but, there's a plus and minus.
Well, yeah.
And you're really, what you're doing is you're just accommodating.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Yeah. Sir Cullen. And double parking and everything else. So.
Hmm. And
is there beach access by the chapel parking lot?
Right between there and the cemetery.
Yeah, it's right along that split rail fence. Should we, in the spirit of jumping on something to find out, is it something, Mr. Chairman, we could ask Carolyn and Joe to pursue what would have to happen on that lot in order to
make
it?
Do we need
to? No, I've already jumped on it.
So we're
okay.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
I mean, and this is all long term, but I'm assuming that it counts with the federal government if we show some effort
huge.
Anyway.
Big
exactly.
Time. Yeah.
Yes.
It would be big. So.
For every parking space we get 52 feet of beach to be assisted on.
For every space?
Really?
Yes.
You're kidding me.
That's good information.
The DEP met with us a few weeks ago. And
so how many spots would we need in that section then?
42,000.
No, it's a mile. So that's 100 spots, right? If it's a mile long, right? Yeah. 5280?
Yes.
Go back to fourth grade.
So if we get parking every half mile, we would help us out a lot. That's right.
So
the shorty lot wouldn't help too much, but it would help in overall parking. That's why we're looking at other areas at least a half mile from the north parking lot.
I assume you all took into account the parking that the marina at McCarthy's makes available, right?
So we're
that's a good question.
They aren't zoned technically for parking there for public beach parking.
Right.
We are. That is one of our options that we're looking into.
So that's another.
What
piece.
Would we need to do to get that?
Right.
Yeah, if you remember during that the David Depew thing last summer or whatever, all the zones, and that came up that, you know, okay. that's an unofficial parking lot, but I think it's a good thing, but whatever. Okay, is that it for the parking? So you can proceed with...
But you should ask the Army Corps what would be needed for McCarthy's there, because they park cars there for their business, so
yes.
It's zoned to do that.
Yes. Right.
So if we had a contract on the side that extended X amount of years, certainly the 8 years to 10 years of the nourishment cost itself, that said they would allow beach parking in their parking lot and not restrict it at all, I don't know what it would be. That might be good enough.
Right, it might be. But the only problem there is if they are signing those sort of contracts, then they're, instead of sort of, quietly breaking a zoning law, they're...
But I don't think they're breaking any laws by parking there.
They do. Code enforcement comes out and issues them citations.
Really?
When they hear that they have allowed public beach parking at a cost. If they get reported and code enforcement comes out.
So they could charge the park if they go to the marina, but not if they go...
I don't want to be their attorney, but then they should just charge people going on charters and then give them a credit for the charter because they went on a charter.
She explained it as, here, buy this lipstick, and now you can park here.
Yeah.
Right. So, anyway, we'll work with them. You already have contacted them, obviously, and so if you have any ideas, any just feel free to fire away. Let's see, parking. Sand replacement payment, did we make that?
We're searching. We're searching for those files. We have some that we got from storage that we go through. It's in process.
So we have,
and we've also asked Steve Keenan from Apton to go through their records and see what they can find for us also. So it's in process.
So we are searching for records of that payment.
Yes.
And that is to identify the fact that the Army Corps did not pay for sand on the land side of the coastal.
Correct.
The CCE.
Okay. Erosion control.
Erosion control. ECL. Thank you.
Is it possible that they have information in our storage unit?
And we've gotten some of the documents from there to look.
I dug through it.
Okay, because I was willing to volunteer if you need me to go through it.
I would like to go with you.
Yeah.
Well,
why not?
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you.
Monday.com? Are we done with that one? I'm sorry. We were done with that, right?
Okay.
Monday.com.
The attachment, we went ahead and did an export. This could end up being I would like it to be a working document moving forward of our timeline for the nourishment project.
It's not in your packet, but it was just put in the back.
This?
Yes,
the large.
So these are the items that were taken from the only timeline record that we had that Kathy used in the program prior to this administration. And we took all of the items on there and entered them into Monday.com and put in the best dates that we could at the time. They are always subjective and to be updated. We've already found some errors, so we're course open to that, but this gives you a general idea.
Is there a way to put a column that would be a critical date, meaning?
Sure, you got right.
Yes.
You know, critical date.
What is critical date? I'm sorry.
Something at a glance where you could go, okay, down here, down in the middle, we have a critical date to hit this deadline, and
got
it's
it.
Showing red now, I guess, and we got to make a decision.
Got it, okay.
And there's a lot of things here, right?
And this is only for the renourishment. This is
correct.
So that we'd hit another tab, and it would be about sand, the storm sand project.
The Redfish Pass.
Yeah.
Yes.
That'd be a whole different. Okay.
The same thing for the other project.
And is there a tab for things that might come up in a monthly meeting? Follow-up actions that, like the strong thing. That's
We have an administrator section of all the action items that we work on a consistent basis.
Okay.
On a daily basis.
It's working good for you guys?
Yeah.
Is there a way to take a look at this and view it another way? And another way just means like you know, almost like a cartoon, like a series, you know, so I can understand it quickly, see where we are in something, we're ahead, we're behind, we're fine.
Here's the issue, but Chairman Mullins wanted a Gantt chart, so you can just see everything go. The thing is, this is over years of being put together, so it's hard to throw
2 years down the road in a Gantt chart
where
you're looking at a glance.
Card, you just have to be scrolling a lot, so it's functional to look at it in different ways on the computer screen. This is going to be the easiest way for us to print it out.
Will Monday.com allow you to look at the next 24 months or a window, maybe?
Yes.
January of 2020 versus...
I can export whatever into an Excel spreadsheet and then give you a block of that. So if you guys want to see it in a Gantt chart way, even next 3 months, I can do it that way. What I'm trying to do is make sure overall we're satisfied with all the items that we have to make sure we have checked off. And then we can finalize some of these dates and shore them up a little bit better. Mm-hmm.
I think is the function of the board, in my opinion, is to an extra set of eyes to make sure it's getting done.
Right.
And then also if there's something we thought of that whoever provided you guys with previously.
Well, I think once we get this loaded, bring it to every meeting. I'm going, here's the next 120-day look.
Yes, yeah, that's perfect. Right, yeah. Perfect.
And so, can you accommodate a Gantt chart?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Also good. Okay. Moving on. New business. A 2019 Save Our Water Summit. August 21st.
So there is a seminar coming up. It's called Save Our Water. It's being put on by the news press, actually, sponsored by several different companies. And I think I sent you the information about it, because I know that Commissioner Jensen has decided that he wants to go. I'm bringing this up to see if any of the others of you would like to go. Also, we can certainly get you signed up. Joe and I will be in attending.
The head of the state, DEP?
Yeah, the DEP will be there. U.S. Army Corps is sending someone. Just let us know.
Okay.
If you want to come, just let us know.
You can do it yourself, too. Okay. You can go online.
So it's a half a day on the 21st?
Correct.
Okay.
That's all.
The next conference. The FSBPA conference, Florida State something, I imagine.
Florida Shore and Beach Preservation Association.
Of course.
Is going to be September 18th through 21st at Hutchinson Shores Resort in Jensen Beach. Joe and I will be attending that one. If any of the commissioners would like to go, again, let us know. And get you signed up.
And then the last one. Can you talk about that a little bit?
The last one is the American Shore and Beach.
Okay.
Preservation. I have that dyslexic there. Conference is in October 22nd through 25th at Myrtle Beach.
And historically, we've done the Florida. I know that. Have we ever done the American?
We were signed up to do it last year, and then it got canceled. But Damon, you know, the whole leaving thing.
Right.
So we didn't wind up going. I don't know if anyone's done it before. Hans, do you know off the top of your head?
No, I don't think we've ever done the SBPA before.
Just in case, I think you guys know this, but if not, what I think is interesting is Ken and Kate Gooderham are the administrators for that national group.
For
the SBPA?
Yeah, and they always have. It's just a connection. You
know. Have you ever met Kate?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's funny you said that. I don't mean to regress, but you know, going back to the helping with the scanning and that, someone like that or Kathy Rooker or something. You know, but anyway.
Kate's or a wealth of information.
Yeah. You know, or a company that actually does that.
Yeah.
You know, for their business.
Yeah, there are software companies out there.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
That's what they do.
Just from my, do we have a budget for these conferences? And so you guys, we don't need to vote on them, approve them. It's, you got, you know, which ones do you go to?
For the FSBPA, yeah. We would not need to vote. That one's already in there.
Okay.
The FASD that we just did, it was actually in town when we learned about it. And Commissioner Mullins, it was under his limit. He just said, just go. And it was wonderful. We made some great contacts. I'll tell you about that in a bit.
Okay.
But the ASBPA, because it is in Myrtle Beach, because it would require an air tickets and you know major hotel expenses, I would not be comfortable signing us up for that one without the board approving.
And then do you have a 2020 calendar that we that you've already made plans to attend, or is there any?
Well, this is 19.
Right, no, but I'm asking about 2020. Is there a series of these things that you guys?
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
And am I the only one who's not aware of which ones they are?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Could you just
make a
note at some point which ones you guys, and maybe we can.
Sounds great. When do you need to know about if you think you would like to go to the ASBPA?
We can bring it up in August.
Okay.
I haven't looked at the ASBPA in all that much detail.
Anything else on the conferences?
No.
All right. Administrator's report.
So we went to the FASD conference, which is the Florida Association of Special Districts. It was here, and it was right after our last board meeting. It was that week. It was just a wealth of information. We got to meet with different companies that specialize in special district, government districts. We hooked ourselves up with a web company that not only knows the requirements for the government, but also is the ADA compliance and is working with us and getting the website up to date and changed the way that it needs to be. One heck of a lot less expensive and more responsive than the other companies that we were looking at. I actually attended an ethics for government officials course, which was interesting. It was about what you have to do versus what you think is right to do. I don't need to go over all of that again if you want to, but it's there for you to read it. But the one thing that I went to the records management, and that was where all of this came up about getting the records in order. One of the things that they stated is because of public requests, if somebody requested something from 1994 and you don't have a record that it's been destroyed, you're responsible to go find it. If, however, it was within the time limit to be destroyed, and it has been, you can simply say, this was destroyed, and you show them the truth that it was destroyed. Also that our agendas need to be up 1 week prior, so we made sure to do that this time.
We got to meet a lot of other districts that are going through similar things as us, so as we move forward with questions, we can pick some other brains that have been through.
Did anybody talk about records keeping and bringing things from the dark ages to the cloud?
The one thing that they mentioned at the records keeping meeting was that it used to be, if you had a hard copy, you couldn't make it electronic and get rid of the hard, but now you can. That an electronic copy can serve as your original
document. I guess, I'm just wondering, did you make any contact that you might be able to talk to about finding a vendor to do that for you?
No, but we can ask.
Reach out to Iron Mountain or somebody like that.
Yeah, right.
That's a good idea.
Right.
They may not do that specifically, but they might know.
Right. One of the great things about being the members now of the FASD is I can send a request to the executive director, and he will send it out to everyone in the group. And they respond or they don't. You know, I've been working on an SOP for when Commissioner Jensen leaves and we need to approve another commissioner. And how does that work? So I sent out the request, do you guys have an SOP for this kind of thing, and got several responses to work from. So instead of reinventing the wheel, we get to use what they may have and customize it.
Okay. Anything else?
Ted Pepperbone.
Okay, or commissioner's comments?
Oh, wait a minute. Sorry. Were you going to bring up about the candidates for the...
Oh, yeah. So right now, we currently have 6 candidates that are interested in the commissioner's seat, which is why it is so important that we come up with a standard operating procedure so everybody is considered equally.
And I was kind of talking over with Carol and Joe and kind of in the line with what I said I would do at the last meeting, is maybe we can consider some type of community, I don't know what you call it, a committee where people that are interested in what we do and kind of like maybe for people who are
nominated?
Yeah, exactly, or possibly interested in coming on the board in the future, and maybe where one commissioner could be part of that committee. In other words, it's like sort of a grooming thing or whatever.
Cultivate a bench.
Yeah, we don't have to decide that today, but it's just an idea. Rather than in the future, as commissioners need to leave the board, you have sort of a system in line rather than, you know, going begging to see if people are interested.
Right.
But you guys are kind of working on it. Just so you know, I suggested it.
Okay. I guess that's a commissioner comment. Do you have any other comments?
Well, thank you, Carol and Joe, for you're really, I'm aware of one commercial business that you went to seeking out in the parking, and I think you're doing a great job in considering anything. And that affects on how much we as property owners pay, and I think you're doing a good job with that effort. That's it.
Bob?
Just 2 points. One, I was told or heard that we had a survey of the parking lot done, finally.
Physically, we're waiting on it to be put on paper.
Okay. Perfect.
As soon as that's done, we'll get over to engineering for a site plan. Then we'll be starting the permit process. The our trailer has been built and it will be arrived. It'll be delivered in 2 weeks, and we're going to have it stored at our storage facility at CubeSmart.
It'll be stored there until when?
Until permitting is approved.
Got
and
it.
We can start the project.
Thank you.
And my next question was, you know, I missed the last meeting. Did anyone discuss the fact that the financial disclosures were due July 1 for the commissioners?
I did raise that at the meeting.
You're going to be penalized for $25 a day as of September 1?
What's that?
For the county.
Your annual financial disclosure?
Oh, yeah. No, I think everybody's aware of it.
Yeah, I did mine.
Is that yours? I'm good.
So I just got it in the mail. I missed the last meeting, but I've done it.
Good. Well,
thank you for reminding
me.
So I'm good.
It's not here. Does anybody here want to make any? Joel, you have anything that you'd like to?
I mean, I can just a quick update on Joel, you know, City of Sanibel, Joel Cowett. We're hoping to get the permit documents submitted for the riprap for the emergency revetment in Sanibel. If anyone's interested, I mean, the plant, we refined the plans a little bit. They're not much different than what I've discussed in past meetings. I'm happy to provide those if anyone's interested. If anyone would like to look them over.
Do you have a file? Do you have that electronic form?
Could
you send that to
Carolyn?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Sure. And just waiting for the permit, is that correct?
Well, we have to get, you know, signatures from property owners, you know, letters from the city. We're still waiting on a few letters from the city engineer, you know, signing off on the plan and things of that nature. So then the next step is to submit it to DEP and with all our documentation, and then we'll see what goes. And we're hoping November of this year to start the project.
And for completion, when?
You know, I really don't know. I want to say maybe, I'm guessing maybe six to 8 weeks maybe on this. You know, that's just a really broad frame. But we want to, you know, sea turtle season ends on Halloween, and we want to be ready to start working on this on November 1st, if possible. just to get it done and completed.
And then the sand portion will be later.
It would be probably after the construction is done, because it has to fall 9 months outside of your schedule. If you're scheduling, you guys are scheduling 20, right? November 20, maybe, of doing the next your next project. So we have to be at least 9 months outside of any scheduled projects in order for us to place sand on the beach for the emergency version.
Okay. Thanks, Joe. Mm-hmm. Mike, is there anything else you want to add?
I'm just curious. Why is that 9 months, Brett? Is there some reason?
I believe it's the requirement. So we have a Sanibel is, I forget the term. We're signed on to the CEP's permit for sand placement, and I believe it's a condition of the permit. They can't. Yeah, I think maybe they feel, I don't know, maybe double dipping or something if you're getting too close.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I have nothing else. Thank you for all your hard work.
You bet. Thanks for coming today. Hans, you have anything you want to add today? Tiffany. All right. Can we adjourn?
Thank you.
Sweet.
Mike, on the
Mike, see you tomorrow.
The history movie.
I know.
What happened here?